has been sponsored by family Waldman, the quite simple. Laban Nissen, Chodesh Eir, 26th of April, Dain Chanoch Friedman, more Shailas on Chodesh Mishpat.
A shayla that was asked that happened here actually in England.
Yeah.
One of the rabbanim asked me that there was a teacher who taught in one of the schools here, and she had they made up a certain wage, I could say £1,000 a month, and after about 15 years, they came back to the teacher and so showed they'd been giving her £1,050. So they said that was a mistake. They were giving her an extra £50 each month. So they want the money back, about £6,000. So the teacher's an honest person. The person said, I want to give them back, but I don't have £6,000 now to give it. So the question is, what is the halacha? The person mechuyev to give back, and under what circumstances, and how long a period of time do they have to pay? If they are. When I ask Shailas in Chodesh Mishpat, I like to hear if anybody has any opinions on the subject. The opinions in the subject make the questions clearer, and the answers clearer. So if anybody has any opinions, they should please state what they think. Anybody have anything to say?
Why should she not pay?
I didn't say she shouldn't pay, but the question is she have to pay £6,000 now, she didn't know about it.
If she depends, if she's got the money.
No, she says it's difficult for her. I mean, anybody, maybe she can go to the bank and get it.
Tashlim, come about
it. £150 for the next
15
years.
So let me explain the issues. First of all, the school or the governor or whoever is in charge would have to make a shvuah, an oath, that he didn't know about it. Because, you know, it could be, even though they made up with the teacher to give them £1,000 a month, but maybe at some point they decided to give a small raise. So maybe they knew. So they have to swear that they didn't know about it. Because this is a principle in the Gemara that if you're coming to be motzi mama from someone and the other person can't know whether or not your basis is true, so you have to swear and tell them. So therefore, they would have to swear at least that they didn't know about it, that it wasn't a mistake. And it must have been also in a situation where she couldn't have, the teacher couldn't have known, because there's a lot of different things going on in the account. Because if she knew, then they should have known right away. Another thing is, we don't, but the dinim usually don't make shvuas in our time, because shvuas are not stringent enough in people's eyes. So we're afraid that the oinish shvua and nizdazo ilam and the law of lotisa, that avera chamura, to swear falsely. So therefore, and when there is a shvua, Beis Din usually makes a pshara, taking off a third, instead of a shvua. So that's another point to consider. Another thing is, what you said, to pay back over a period of years, that's also, here, that would be acceptable, because normally, in Havoah, Stam Havoah is 30 days. And usually you speak out in Havoah, but I want it. No Avom and Hashtam is for years unless you speak it out. Lest, if there's a Hatarisker, Ribbis, so the Malba has an advantage that it stays perhaps over a period of time. But a normal Avom without any Ribbis, there's a limited time. But that's an Avom that was given as a loan. But here it was never given as a loan. It was a mistake. The money was given. And just as it was inconsequential, therefore nobody found out about it. It's this long period of time, so that the Sfarah says that the person should pay back over a period of years also.
Could I ask, what's the status of these £6,000? Is it in the nature of an abeta? In which case, was there yield?
No, it's not an abeta.
What's the status of
the status is what it's like a pikkudin shalom idaiti of the person. You put it into my account without my knowledge. But it's not an abeta because everything is known there. It's in the bank. The bank knows that there's a statement. There is not the pshat that's lost.
But the school didn't visit for 12 years and the woman didn't know about it.
That's true, but an abeta is something that no one knew about. If someone knew, even though I didn't find it at the time, I didn't know it, doesn't make it an abeta. But that's a good point. And if they didn't know about it, they weren't messiahs either, because it's abeta yishlamidas. So if you don't know about it, you're not messiahs either. And also the question if they're the Bailim to be messiahs. Because it could be it's public money, so it could be there, not a violent to be Messiah either. But that, so that's a good point to think about. There are certain businesses, Agav, where they tell you that if we don't come back to you within 60 days,
yes,
whatever the cheshbon was, that remains. If there'd be such a minhag like that in this country, then after a certain period of time, there'd be a time of limitation. That after a certain time, you could mourn, afterwards not. But if there is no such minhag, if there'd be a minhag that people act that way, then that would also make a difference.
Jeez, in England, after 6 years, you can't claim.
From what?
You can't claim.
If that minhag is accepted by people, I'm talking about by commonly by the Jews also and their businesses. Then it could be here also. After 6 years, you couldn't claim either. If you weren't told before, it could be. If that's the minhag, then after that period of time, you wouldn't claim because if things are given, adayt in ochi. If that's common, but you see a minhag of the country is only if it's actually known. If it's on the law books, if people don't act that way, then it doesn't affect. Because their status is, Koka Minigam Dina, the Gemara and Bometzia, and Perak Test, that people usually act. What they do is a Daita de Minig. Somebody has something to ask?
Dina
Machus doesn't apply in Mominus. We're talking about Minigam Dina. If we didn't tell you all, Dina Machus doesn't work if it's a private loan. If I'm doing something with the government, Dina Machus Dina. But with Jews, you have to act according to Din Torah. But Minigam Dina applies in Jewish law also. I don't hear you.
I didn't quite catch the Ross Terrace. If it's Dina Machus, then the president has got the right to claim.
In Yiddish law, you still have a right to claim unless it's a minigam dina. If minigam dina means something else, many times there could be a law on the statutes and but people actually, especially Yidden, don't act that way. But if the people act that way also, then that becomes minigam dina means because people, when they do their transaction, they're doing it according to that minig. So that's Mechayev and Halacha also. We had cases like that in Eretz Yisrael too, that we discussed it with the Yoshev, Zecher Tzadok Levrocha. For instance, in references when it rains in from a higher floor to a lower floor. Is the top one Mechayev to fix it. According to the Din of the Gemara, in Bometzia Kuf Yud Ches, you're only Mechayev if it's Giri. If it comes directly from you, if it's rain and it doesn't fall directly, it just seeps in over the time, your potter may be dina de gemara for fixing it. But the minigam dina is in batim, in meshuv tofim, in houses which people are together, that the top one pays for fixing it. So we asked Rabbi Yoshiv. He said you have to go to a few neighborhoods and see if people actually act that way. A minigam dina, you have to check out if it's actually known. If people act that way, then it's machayv up b'din teira also. That's one case. Let me ask you another case. So somebody told, asked, he heard his friend is going to a store, to buy an S-rig, to buy a camera. And he said, give him £100. Give him £100. get me an S-rig, get me a camera. Now the fellow went to a place where there was a discount. He can get £100 S-rig, £100 camera for £50. So he has two choices now. He has one choice that he could get, he could spend only £50 and get him £100 S-rig camera, and the other £50 give the person back. I'm not talking about taking money for himself. Or he could use the whole £100 and get him a $200 camera or a $200 S-rig. So what should he do? The person, and he has no way of getting in contact with the person, and he has the opportunity to buy now. He gave him £100, get me a camera, get me an S-rig. So what does that mean? That means that I want the value of a £100 S-rig, a £100 camera, and if I can get it for $50, I'm not willing to spend any more money. Or he was willing to spend for $100, if $100 I'd get something which is worth twice the value. For $200, that's what he would want. So what do you think? What should he do? I don't hear you. Yeah, but maybe he meant the opposite. Maybe he wanted just £100 asset, which is a value of £100 if I can get it. If there's a deal that £100 asset, I get it for £50. Maybe he wants back his £50. He got £100 asset. As you could clear, what does he mean?
He said he wants to spend £100.
I didn't say. I was talking. He didn't say he wants
he
to spend.
£100.
He was only going. Yes, yeah, but this fellow found the deal, and he's giving you £100 asking for £50. That's the question. There are two sides to the coin. You could look at it that maybe that's what I want. I know cameras for $100 is such and such a value. So if for $50 I got that, that's enough. I know what S-rig and
Aurora
want.
Excuse me? Why should he keep the money then?
Not he keeps the money, give it back. The question is. What?
He's got to give it back.
For sure, he's got to give it back. That's not the question. The question was, what should he do? Should he spend $50 and give him the value of the asset, which is normally worth $100, and give him back the $50, or spend $100 and give him a $200 asset, or $200 camera? What? Oh, you can't ask him. Thomas says you're going to know what to ask. There's no to ask. For sure, if you could ask him, there'd be no question. Thomas, you can't ask him. So that is the question. Not a question of him keeping the money. For sure, giving back the money. But should I watch? What should he do? So this is a machlekes in the Gemara, in Me'ila and Daf Chof Aleph. The Gemara tells us that if somebody gave the other person three to buy a baguette for him, and he found that the money was hektish, he didn't know it was hektish. Me'ila, question the Shliach, do Shliach Husay. And he bought with 1.5 something which is normally value of 3. He got a bargain. So the question is the Balabayas, the one who sent him, does he have a meal or not? Is it considered that the Shliach did Shliach Husay? He spent 1.5 and he gave him a commodity of 3. So the Tana Kama says that he did Shliach Husay, he got him something which is the value of 3. Rabbi Yehuda says no. That he should. I told you to use 3. You should have given me something which is worth 6, and you got me something which is only worth 3. So this question, what he should do in such a circumstance, is a machlekes the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda in Me'ila Daf Chof Aleph. So we paskin like the Chachamim. That means that if he spent 50 and got him £100 Esrog camera, that's considered did Shliach Husay. That's what comes out of the Gemara and Me'ila in Daf Chof Aleph. Now I'll ask you another case. And a fellow came to shul. And
I'm worried about it because...
Okay, very good. That's what I'm here for. That people should consider the cases. Nobody has to accept our opinions. Think it over. That's what I want. People should think over, ponder on the situations. I think of the Gemara and Mila Chafalit. If somebody uses an expression which is clear one way or the other, that he indicated in his language, then for sure there's no question. We're talking where it's all pie. So that's the question. What should he do under such a circumstance?
My problem is that I cannot understand where shikul dat. This is quite clearly an opinion of what did the Magai mean.
And we don't know.
We don't know.
So what should he do? What should he do when you don't know?
I best understand why it's a halachic issue, because if whichever he does...
No, but it's also a halachic issue. So what could he do? You could ask another question. So why should he do nothing? So he won't get him an answer at all. So he has to make a decision?
Whichever he does, he can say that the shlichut was not clear enough, and therefore his decision was right.
Maybe you'll say, maybe it wasn't clear enough, and the shlichut is wrong. No. Say the opposite. If you don't know, maybe don't do it. Well, you know what I did like that also anymore. If the shliach makes a mistake, then the Baal HaBayis could say to him, "Mitakuni shadatich lo lavotzi." So the opposite too. So we have to know what is a proper shikar hadas. Now, here's something which is a proper shikar hadas. Truma, if I give 40 or 60, even though normally 50, b'achar ma'aticha, because some people do like this. But there are things which are mistakes. So we have to know which is a normal, logical thing that the shliach could think or not.
If he buys, last week we discussed, buy one, get one free. So he buys a hundred covering, but gets another one free. Who keeps the free one?
The balabai, the moshaleach, not the shliach.
The free one.
The moshaleach gets it, not the shliach. There's a difference in the Gemara between something where there's no, ain lo kitzva. If it had, if there was no specific price, then for sure he was given because of the money. He got two, so then it belongs to the balabai. But if someone has a specific price control, and he gives an extra one, then there's a subject in the Gemara. Who do you mean to give it to? The Mishaleach or the Shaleach? That's a different question. That's a Gemara of Subas Dabsadik Des. Now,
I don't really see the Shala.
What?
No, I don't really see the Shala.
What Shala?
Your Shala.
Okay.
Yeah? Because if he comes back with a 100-pound camera,
yeah,
and he gives it to the Mishaleach,
yeah,
he doesn't tell him even.
No, he has to tell him.
No, he will tell him. 1 second. But when he gives him the camera, right, he says, "This is the camera you ordered. This is a 100-pound camera." The Mishaleach will be happy.
1 second.
He'll be happy with the product.
He does not know. Right, he did not know. Yeah, 1 second. He did not know that with his 100 pounds, he could have bought him something for 200. If he tells him that I only spent 50 of your money, maybe he'll be unhappy.
That's
maybe
what I'm trying to say. If he brings him a 200-pound camera, no, right, the shaleach could say, "I never dreamt of such a camera. I didn't send
that
you that."
Proof is the question.
I didn't send you
that's
for that.
That's the question. Did I spend it to use it? Some people said just the opposite. When I gave you 100 pounds, I wanted you to use it and get me the best possible for that money. That proof is the sophic. Did I want to own you something of value of 100, or I wanted you to spend 100 pounds to get me the best value you can get from that? That's a topic in the Gemara.
But he was only expecting a camera which has a value of 100. He did not know that there was such a possibility.
So what did he mean under that circumstance?
Normally you send somebody and you say, "Please buy this for me. If you can get it cheaper, then say, hey, try and get it cheaper."
If he would have said that, there'd be no question about it. Some people say just the opposite. Okay, very good. Maybe that's the svar of the Chachamim. That's why the halacha is the Rebbe. I'm telling you, this is a machlekes in the Gemara between the Chachamim and Rebbe Yehuda. Could be that's the svar of Rebbe Paskin anyway. But there are definitely two studied here. Some people say, for kids, I want the best possible answer for that price. I'd like to spend the whole thing. Okay. At any rate,
next case. This is quite supplemental because as I've mentioned before, there's a principle of Hamotzim, Hamor, and Ahavaya. If the Shehut was so unclear that, as Yaakov says, he was when he brought him something which was perfectly adequate for the Shehut.
We're not talking about the Mechayev the Shliach.
The Shliach is claiming that he could have meant something else.
Not the Shliach, the Mishaleach.
The Shliach is claiming.
But we're not talking about the Mechayev the Shliach. We're talking about what should he do. What is the proper thing for Shliach to do? Okay, that's a Gemara. There's two studies in the Gemara. You'll look into it.
Okay. But
both equally. Then another case. In Simchas Torah, they came to shul, and the Oren Kodesh was locked. The Gabbai forgot to give the key to someone. So one of the people in the shul, the Rav wasn't there, and people who with authority were not in the shul. And one person was there. He says, "Oh, I have a Sefer Torah." So he brought his own Sefer Torah. But then he came and he said, "You see, I have my own institution. I'll let you use the Sefer Torah if all the money of the Aliyahs goes to me." So the people, to my institution. So the people in the Minyan, I don't know if it makes a difference to them, it doesn't make a difference. They have no choice. They agreed. They're annoyed. They're annoyed to his place, Yaakov Shimon, whatever the name is.
You made the condition in advance?
Advance. There's no question about it that they owe him the money. They made a condition in advance. But the question is, tomorrow, they got back to shul, they come back and say, "Really, you make a million in my shul, and all money you're collecting for some other institution. In my shul, how do you go collect for something in my shul?" So there's no question, the people who made the nether, they owe the person that made the nether too. But the question is, does he owe the shul? How can you go ahead and make it? If he does owe the shul, what does he owe them? What's his rights?
Commission.
And what's their rights?
Commission.
I hear you.
20%.
How do you know that? Where do you get the 20%?
The rent.
Rent could also be very minimal. Rent for a couple of hours, I don't know what the prices are in England, but could be very minimal. A person could pay thousands of pounds. Depends how effort and how people were interested in the Aliyahs. But could be there thousands of pounds made. So they said the question is what is the halachic rights?
You're not going to give him much.
I can't hear you.
I won't give him very much, this man with the Sefer Torah, because he's forced them to give
He has the right to. They could have gone to a different shul. I mean, forced. It's a free country. Go to a different shul. Walk a mile, or maybe even less than a mile, maybe two blocks. There could be in this area, it could be a shul every two, three blocks away. So go to a different shul. I'm not forcing you. You agreed, Mirror, from your Rotson to do it. They don't have a claim against him. The shul has the claim against him. But the principle is like this, that anything which requires both, you cannot have a Simchas Torah without a Sefer Torah. On the other hand, nobody would have davened in the street. Nobody was coming to his house. You needed the shul also. You needed two. In order to create the situation, to have a successful minyan, you needed both the shul and the Sefer Torah. So if you needed both, then there's the principle of that they're equal partners, because but you needed both of them in order to accomplish it. Therefore, the shul has a claim of 50% against him. The people owe him, but he owes the shul 50%.
What about the
gabbai
himself? He was at fault.
So what? You mean can the shul want the gabbai? That they didn't do his job right?
Did you get the money off the gabbai?
The Gabbai is only a grommet. It's a grommet. It's not part of the Yonim Achalim and the Shemayim. But it's only a grommet. But our Kopani, the halacha would be that you give him 50% and them.
And the Mashiach comes to shul. He should give 50% to shul. But not for shul. He wouldn't collect money.
I just said, yes,
sir.
That's what I said. What?
Every tzedakah collector should have to give after the shul. That's his question.
No, why?
Because he needs the shul and the tzedakah.
That's something else. Here it's something kavua in a shul. You need dafka shul. A collector, it's just a hefty timsein. A grad, a metam here, can meet him outside here and there. Here is something you need a shul for the minyan. Nobody else make a minyan. I mean, they wouldn't make a minyan in the street. That's part of the basic thing that you need. Nobody interested. Nobody would go next. They'll go right to another shul. Another case, I was asked from a Beis Din in 5 minutes. From a Beis Din in Chutz Laretz was in this country. They built 6 floors. According to the law of the country, they're supposed to build only 5 floors. But they usually get away with it, with the 6th floor in that country. But this time they didn't. So the fellow on the 5th floor, he bought both the 5th and the 6th floor. Ooh. Now, they asked them to destroy the sixth floor. Now, they all made a lot of money because the prices of the homes were not tripled or doubled. They had a lot of money. But there's a loss now. The question was, he claimed that you were all partners in the project, so the people in the lower floors have to also take part of the loss of the fifth floor and sixth floor. And they claim that they only bought apartments. They bought their apartment, and their apartment is not a loss.
He sells the sixth floor, makes a profit, and he's going to share it with them.
Oh, let's go into the situation here. We're talking about not profit of selling. We're talking about... I'll explain what the question was here. How do you know in general if people are just buying apartments or they're all partners in a project? Normal situation that you're just buying an apartment means the fellow who was the originator of the idea, he pays the builder, and then later on, he takes from them a retail price that I made the deal. I paid the builder. Now, I'm selling your apartments. But in this case, what was, they all paid the builder together. And they all paid not a retail price, but about the wholesale price, the actual price of the builder for building the entire building. And they all knew the possible potential risk that perhaps the top floor will be. They thought it was a minimal risk because usually they get away with it in that country. But therefore the fellow who had the 56th floor said we were partners in the whole deal. Because we all paid.
Did he pay 2 6 or 1 6?
He paid for two floors. He paid 2 6.
He paid 2 6.
He paid 2 6. He paid for two floors. Each one paid 1 6. So he says in this situation, since it would seem in this situation, since they all built together, that they're all partners in the whole thing, and each one got their profit from their floor. The fellow on the first floor got. Yeah, let's say he was paid and put in £100,000. He got it. His profit is that his home now is worth $200,000, which you asked before. Each one got the profit from the amount of money that he put in. He got his double.
And it also cost him less. It cost each one less because they built six floors, not five.
Right,
floors.
Right. Each one got that too.
They all got an advantage. Out
That's
of the
right.
Floor.
So therefore, it would seem that they're all partners in the whole thing. But someone asked me afterwards, after I told them that was my opinion, they asked me from Shulchan Aruch, and we have this in the Gemara in Baba Kama and Daf Tes, that if people were Yorshim and they made a chalukah, then tomorrow comes a Balchov and it collects from one. So the chalukah is batal, because all had responsibility. The same thing here is, even though each was getting his floor, but there's equal responsibility to each one for the whole thing. Then, but they asked me, the Shulchan Aruch on the test, there's two opinions by a Balchov. Two people had a business, two partners, and there's a Balchov against them, and they divided up their business, and he came and he asked from one of them the money. Is the chalukah bottle or not? So there's two opinions of Shulchan Aruch. So he says, if so, why should our case be any different than that one? So I told them that case is different, and I found Mefurish and Ksesha Choshin in there in Lama Tess, that the difference is, when we had a partnership, and then we divided up, and we have a Balkov against both of us, each one knew there was an equal risk. He could come and ask from Reuven, or he could come and ask from Shimon. So that, even though all partners except upon themselves, equal partners, equal risk and equal gain, the mere fact that it's potentially that he could come either to this one or to that one is also accepting equal risk. Therefore, therefore, that's a question that, in that case, maybe it won't be Mubato Chalukah. But in our situation, where the gain is for everybody, and the risk is going to be on one, since the fairness is that everybody accepts equal responsibility, both for gain and risk, so it's for sure that if there's a loss, so that each one has to bear equal in the loss as he bears equal in the gain. That's what I paskin in that situation. I've finished now. Yes, I got time. I hear you.
Yeah, really.
I don't know.
The top floor is lost everything. Does he get compensated by the others? In other words,
that was the question. Yes. There wasn't a top floor. He had 56 floor. He lost one.
He wouldn't have gone into it if it was six parts at all. He would have lost everything, but he was one sick.
Okay,
Shkoya. Thank you very much.